Chapter 6. Leviathan Rises. Idle Hands. Hammer of the Gods. Tensions were high in Kalena's orbital command center. The moment Vashti had been planning for the last 6 days had finally arrived. She chewed the inside of her mouth, glanding a mixture of stims and mood stabilizers almost non-stop as the plates of the windows vibrated with powerful gravitic waves from the landing fields. "Come on, come on, come on," she muttered under her breath for the 10th time in the last 2 minutes. "Lift, damn you! Lift!" The monster of steel that was the subject of her imprecations sat in a haze of distortion, making it difficult to see whether or not her words were having any effect.
"A little respect might help,"
offered Majos Rom from the centre of her entoptic sphere of data light.
"The machine knows all. The machine hears all."
"Fine," snapped Vashti.
"Lift, damn you, lift, please." "Not quite what I had in mind, but it will have to do."
"It's all I've got, Tezza," said Vashti. Her every nerve and sinew was bowstring taut. All of her staff were fixated on their data slates, watching for signs of trouble in the launch. Tens of thousands of vital elements needed to go right for the Lux Ferrum to get off the ground, and only one had to go wrong for the launch to fail. Then it happened. The ship and the ground parted company. The console nearest her chirruped, indicating sufficient height had been gained to engage the platform repulsors.
"Yes," said Vashti.
"Kick the platforms to -4G, increasing to 10G in 20-second increments." She glanced over at the tension ratio in the tug cables. "Increase thrust on the tug's 4 points. They need to lift smooth as glass or they'll tear loose."
"Yes, Commander,"
said Corinna Moreno, transmitting the order from her station by flicking a series of a mother-of-pearl switches.
"Order sent."
"Airspace clear?"
"Clear,"
answered Moreno, and an exhausted cheer went up. Hands were shaken, backs were slapped, and tearful embraces given. Vashti smiled, and her chin sank to her chest as she let out a relieved breath. She wiped the back of her hand over her forehead.
"Right, people," she said. "I want everyone to stay sharp. We're not done yet. This old girl's just stretched her wings, but we still need to see her all the way."
The chatter died down a little, and Vashti walked to the edge of the command center, peering down onto the platforms through the vibrating armor glass. No matter how many times she laid eyes on it, the colossal scale of the Lux Ferrum still defied comprehension. The hard vacuum of the void was this vessel's natural home, not the crushing gravity of a planet. Though she knew it was possible, and, according to her command center's instruments, was actually happening, common sense told Vashti it should be impossible for something of such inhuman scale to achieve escape velocity. And yet it had. She could see it right in front of her. Vashti laughed in delight and hammered a fist on the glass.
"Yes, damn it! You're actually flying, you beautiful girl!"
A shadow was forming beneath the colossal starship, a black footprint on Morningstar's surface, with radiating lines from the tug fleet helping to drag the ship's unimaginable mass into the sky. Under normal circumstances, the Lux Ferrum's engines would be fully capable of lifting it into orbit, but with every hold packed to the gunwales with evacuees and supplies to keep them alive, the old girl needed a little help. Vashti's eyes drifted from the rising Leviathan to the hordes of frightened people still waiting behind lines of demarcation and strategically deployed groups of space marines. An augmetic implant in her right eye did a swift calculation based on how many people they'd managed to get away and how many remained. She factored in projected loading times, number of civilian ships available, and the Magos Geologicus's best estimate of the time Morningstar had left. She came up short, and her delight at the Lux Ferrum's imminent departure evaporated. She didn't have enough ships to carry everyone to safety.
"So many people are going to be left behind," she said.
She remembered the briefing where the grim-faced Titan who led the Iron Warriors had spoken of the unavoidable loss of life the evacuation would incur. He spoke as if people were simply statistics. But by the end of his briefing, even through his stoically logical facade, she felt his genuine regret. Vashti told herself she could deal with it. They couldn't save everyone. Saving some was better than saving none. But seeing just how many would never escape Morningstar, she wasn't sure she could ever forgive herself for leaving them to die. Could anyone? The heavily laden Stormbird followed the coast northwards towards Kalaena, keeping beneath clashing atmospherics that more and more were sounding like screaming. Morningstar was entering its last days and howled its pain on the wind. Magnus tried to shut it out, but even with his eye closed and his senses blunted, he could still hear the psychic echoes of the world's doom. His flesh shimmered with heat as the alchemy wrought by the Emperor's gene rites worked miracles within his flesh to renew him. The damage was extensive, more than he had ever suffered before, so he tried to hang on to how it felt. More than that, he still carried the immense power he had drawn from Morningstar's volatile heart. It simmered just beneath his skin, potent and seething with the desire to be unleashed. He kept it locked within, chained like suppressed rage or a buried secret. Such power needed to be released slowly, like a deep-sea diver decompressing on his way to the surface. The process would be painful, agonizingly so. But Magnus had borne worse before and endured. Teeth gritted against the repercussive pain filling his bones with broken glass, he let his gaze roam the Stormbird's interior. 100 or more blooded survivors pulled from the wreckage of Attar packed the troop compartment alongside weary, dust-covered legionaries. Mortal and transhuman sat side by side on bulkhead benches or slumped upon the swaying deck plates, their auras sapped of vitality. His warriors had driven themselves to the very edge of their abilities in Attar, employing every aspect to save as many of its people as they could. Every one of them would be changed by what they had seen and done. Magnus had never been more proud of his sons than now. To see such devastation and to take in such innocence lost was difficult for all of them, Magnus especially. His sons were suffering, and he could not help them. Not this time. Helplessness was anathema to him. When he had last felt this way, he had made a decision he always knew might haunt him in years to come. Today was not that day, but seeing his sons bloodied and all but broken sent a tremor of unease through his furnace-hot body. He opened his eye as the sound of roaring engines screamed past the Stormbird. From the tone and pitch, he identified Promethean-based ramjets, most likely a Primaris Thunderbolt fighter squadron. An escort for the Governor, perhaps, or additional protection dispatched by Perturabo. Neither, it seemed, for the jets roared onwards to Kalaena. Magnus glanced towards the rear of the Stormbird's troop compartment, where Conrad Varga was being treated. The man was weeping and incoherent with pain. His legs were extensively damaged, but thanks to Magnus's intervention, he would likely keep them. The Governor's survival was miraculous, and while it had been brave of him to venture out into Attar, his duty was in Kalaena, putting a human face on the sacrifices necessary to save as many of Morningstar's inhabitants as possible. But Magnus could not fault a leader willing to dirty his hands in order to save those he loved. Ahriman barged through the crowds, pushing his senses into the throng of refugees. He had not the time for simply skimming thoughts. Instead, he punched through the flimsy mental barriers mortals wove around their minds, which they believed impervious. Everyone who met his gaze fell back, crying out as he tore into their thoughts for signs of the treachery he had seen. Men and women dropped to their knees, screaming and clutching their skulls in pain. Who will it be? From where will they strike? He pushed deep into the crowds, scattering them like herd animals with an apex predator in their midst. He spread his psychic net wide, seeking one path among millions that might lead to the vision he had seen, a fleeting trace of future echoes in the thoughts of tens of thousands. "Where are you?" he muttered. Forex followed him through the crowds, Bolter ready to take out any threat the instant it was revealed to him.
"Anything?"
he demanded.
Give me a target.
I don't have one.
Find one.
One mind among so many, said Ahriman, taking deep breaths, but trying to calm himself in the face of such desperation was all but impossible.
It will not be one mind,
said Forex.
What? What you saw. It will not be one mind. It will be many.
How can you know that? Said Ahriman, turning on the spot.
What you described was too devastating and too complex for one person. There will be others helping whoever is going to do this. Seek connections, and you will find them.
Ahriman took a calming breath, using the cantrips of the lower enumerations to balance his humours. Forex was right. An operation of this magnitude would take numerous individuals to execute, with many moving parts and traitors within the very institutions set up to protect these civilians. The scale of such treachery was hard to fathom. He nodded and curled his fingertips together, one palm above the other. Seek not the Psyche-Nuin, he said. Follow the threads of its mind web, and you will be led to the host.
What's that?
An old cautionary tale of Prospero, said Ahriman, turning to face Forex. He put a hand on the Iron Warrior's shoulder guard and looked him square in the eye. I need you to watch over me, Forex, he said.
What do you mean?
To do what I need to do, I need to detach an element of my psychic awareness. My consciousness will be elsewhere. That will leave my body vulnerable. So I ask that you protect it.
I don't know exactly what that means, but I swear no harm will come to you while I watch over you, promised Forex.
Thank you, my friend, said Ahriman. You honour me.
Go, said Forex. Find them and stop them.
Ahriman nodded, then let slip the bindings of flesh and soared into the sky. Perhaps 100 meters of clear air separated the Lux Ferrum from the ground. Vashti was trying not to hold her breath as it climbed. Every meter from the surface was a victory that saw every life aboard it closer to safety. Its vast bulk shivered like a newborn taking its first steps. The glowing repulsor plates on its belly were hazed with building energy.
Altitude?
She asked, unable to take her eyes from the struggling vessel.
160 meters,
said Corinna Moreno.
Rising at a rate of 10 meters a second.
Come on, said Vashti, chewing her bottom lip and running the numbers in her head. Tezza Rom beat her to it.
The Lux Ferrum needs at least 500 meters of clear air before she can safely engage her ventral repulsors,
said Majos Rom.
I know that, Tezza,
said Vashti.
And even that is much lower than I would recommend.
200 meters,
said Moreno.
High enough.
Before Vashti could correct Moreno, the noospheric globe of light around Tezza Rom flickered an ugly red as 8 unauthorized contacts entered her tightly controlled airspace.
Who the hell?
Vashti said, turning her attention to the icons flickering to life at the edge of her panel.
Fast movers, said Rom. Coming in from the south. Transponders identify them as a Primaris squadron. Thunderbolts previously based in Atar.
What the hell are they doing here?
Swore Vashti.
I don't have space for a drop pod, let alone a whole squadron of cocksure aviators. Vox the squadron lead and tell him to get out of my airspace.
I am trying,
said Tezza, data light swirling around her station.
No reply.
Throne. Are they blind or just stupid?
Said Vashti.
Atar might be gone, but I don't have space to land a jetbike here.
She snatched up the vox horn and dialed into the frequency displayed on the transponder readouts.
Primaris lead, be advised you are entering a highly volatile, controlled airspace, she said, struggling to remain calm, even as she watched the icons of the fighters drawing closer. Alter your heading immediately. Do not approach the exclusion zone around Kalena spaceport. You are not cleared to enter, and I am authorized to employ deadly force to keep my airspace just the way I want it.
Static was her only answer. The thunderbolts kept coming, so she pressed the vox switch again.
Thunderbolts Primaris, I say again, alter your heading immediately. A boundary line of 3 kilometers exists around this location. If you violate that, you will be fired upon. This is your final warning.
The vox crackled with connection static.
Finally,
said Vashti.
Hail Shaitan,
said Primaris Lead.
What was that? Said Vashti.
Say again, Primaris Lead. He said Hail Shaitan,
said Corina Moreno, standing and disconnecting from her cogitator bank, as if leaving at the end of a work rotation.
What are you doing, Corina?
Said Vashti.
Link back into your station.
Moreno did not answer. Instead, she spread wide her arms. Her porcelain-smooth augmetic limb unfolded with machine precision to reveal wads of tightly packed physoline. In her other hand, she held a detonator.
Corina, what...
began Vashti.
Hail Shaitan!
Said Moreno, pressing the detonator's trigger. In a blazing explosion of white fire and fury, Kalena's orbital command center went dark. Forex had no clear idea what to expect, but he knew the exact moment Araman's presence left his body. The legionary of the Thousand Suns went stiff, his muscles locking him in position. Panicked crowds milled in confusion, shrouded in the shadow of the mighty starship as it fought for altitude. The ordered columns in which they had been made to march through the city were broken, and frightened faces looked to him for direction.
Get down on your knees,
said Forex, knowing that keeping people static was likely the best option for now.
And stay down until an iron warrior tells you to get back up.
Those people nearest to him complied instantly. The rest followed suit in concentric waves, making Forex feel like he stood at the epicenter of their devotion. The notion briefly amused him, until the ever-widening circle of kneeling refugees revealed an approaching column of army vehicles that had no business being this close to the loading zones. Four Praetors and two Hydra flak tanks. The presence of such armoured vehicles within the precincts of a spaceport was entirely normal. Each was specifically designed to engage aerial enemies. But such mobile artillery was usually deployed towards the perimeter of a defended zone. The anti-aircraft tanks ground to a halt, and Forex's unease grew as he watched their crews begin bracing protocols in readiness to fire. He looked at Araman's immobile body. Could the legionary be lifted, or would that break whatever trance he was in? Forex had no way of knowing, but bent to sling Araman onto his shoulder. The warrior was a dead weight across him, loose-limbed like a casualty. Forex set off at a jog through the kneeling multitudes towards the tanks. He held Araman tight over one shoulder, his bolter held low beside his leg. The soldiers working on the tanks saw him coming, and their reaction told Forex everything he needed to know about their intent.
Legionary Forex to all Iron Warrior units. Enemy in the wire. I repeat, enemy in the wire. Until further notice, treat all local Red Dragon and Army forces as enemy combatants.
He couldn't know for sure that every Morningstar soldier was hostile, but the Iron Warriors operated a zero-uncertainty policy within their perimeters.
Enemy anti-aircraft units are in position to attack the Lux Ferrum. Heavy support to my location immediately.
A Praetor tank slowly turned on grinding tracks, bringing its heavy bolters to bear. Its crew formed a disciplined fire line.
Battle protocols. Think and move.
A flurry of lasbolts slashed towards Forex. Paltry impacts blistered his armour. He ignored them. His Mark IV plate had been forged to withstand the worst the galaxy could throw at him. A few shots hit Araman. More flayed the kneeling refugees. They screamed in terror and pressed themselves flat to the ground. Others died as they fled, cut down without mercy by the indiscriminate fire. His anger built inferno hot.
Use it! Direct it!
Forex raised his bolter, targeting reticules centered on five soldiers.
Five dead men.
He fired one-handed, squeezing the trigger in smooth intervals. Gen-hanced flesh worked with his armor's servo-assisted muscles to dissipate recoil. Mass-reactive bolts blasted every target to blossoming sprays of pulped flesh and blood.
Now they'll run.
But in defiance of all Forex had learned of transhuman dread, the other soldiers rushed him. They fired from the hip, screaming obscenities as they charged.
You crave death,
he said.
I am happy to oblige.
He fired a stream of shells, cutting his attackers down in a blitzing storm of bolter fire. Not one survived to reach him.
Keep moving. Find cover before those tanks engage.
The unmistakable clatter of cycling autoloaders sounded.
Too late. Forex dropped to one knee as the Praetor opened fire. Heavy bolter, high-caliber mass reactives.
Explosions ripped up the honeycomb structure of the landing platform in a line towards him. Bolt shells chewing through screaming civilians. Plumes of metal-laced plascrete flew. Blood misted the air as bodies detonated. Forex jinked right. Two shells clipped his left shoulder. Another hit him dead center on his breastplate. The explosion rocked him back onto his haunches.
Find cover! Feel the iron within!
Forex leaned into the fire, keeping his own bulk between the gunfire and Araman's supine body. Another two shells detonated against his shoulder guard. Warning icons bloomed to life on his visor.
Find cover!
Forex surged to his feet and ran towards the largest concentration of bloodied bodies. He maglocked his bolter to his thigh and scooped up four limp corpses, holding them close as the tank's gunner fired another salvo. Shells ripped into his meat shields, and the bodies convulsed under the impacts, acting as ablatives to detonate the mass reactive warheads before they struck him. Blood sheeted his warplate, and bone fragments lodged in the cracks in his ceramite. A Hydra tank moved into an enfilading position, its long-barreled guns slowly rising to their engagement angle. Burdened as he was, Forex knew he wouldn't reach the Hydra before its guns opened up. He made another quarter turn to shield Araman from the incoming fire as its cupola-mounted heavy stubber opened fire. Its shells raked him, shredding what remained of the corpses and pounding his armor. His warplate cracked and split at the weaker flex joints. Blood drizzled the spaces within his armor. Forex staggered as a mass reactive round shattered his left knee. A spike of white-hot pain shot through his leg, a shrapnel ricocheted down his shinbone and blew out his ankle. Pain suppressors flooded his system, numbing the flesh around his wound as adrenal stims surged. He kept going, feeling cracked bone grinding within the shredded meat of his foot. He roared and blasted the gunner from the turret mount of the Hydra. His visor was awash with target icons, spiking vitals and damage indicators. More shells followed him, but the angle was too sharp now for the gunners. A flurry of rockets streaked from the other Praetors.
Oh, no!
Yelled Forex, as they slashed towards the Lux Ferrum. Araman soared into the sky, a comet unleashed from its earthly prison. His subtle body blazed with light, all the potential of his being coalesced into a glittering shooting star that craved the heavens once more. The ground fell away, a terrestrial prison for corporeal form. The lightness of being was intoxicating, a sense of freedom beyond compare. As always, he fought the desire to never return to flesh, to exist in this perfect form of expression for all time. This was the trap of the subtle body, a rush of sensation that some neophytes failed to master. They would soar on psychic zephyrs, freed from the banal necessities of existence and heedless of their body's disintegration. Only its eventual death severed the silver cord and dissipated their essence. Araman flew in a curving arc around the gargantuan form of the Lux Ferrum. Its structure was barely visible as a shadowed skeleton, like a vast void-swimming colossus whose belly was filled with wriggling prey. Tens of thousands of souls glimmered within the ship. Frightened souls, grateful souls, spiteful souls, and every other emotion running the gamut of human experience. But chief among the emotions he felt was hope. Humanity's greatest virtue and its greatest weakness. The heavy gravitic tugs were smudges of blunted emotion, cauterized wells of life without thoughts or feelings. The frontal lobes of their servitor pilots had been burned out, and Araman was revolted by such crude surgeries. A ferocious spike of emotion drew his attention from the tugs, and he arced over in time to see the tower of the spaceport's orbital command center vanish in a sheeting fireball. He felt echoes of horror, anger, and righteous zeal bloom from the detonation. Rapture. Forex was correct. Betrayals of this magnitude stretched beyond lone madmen or a few crazed adherents of a suppressed cult. This treachery ran deep. Ahriman flinched as he felt a surge of that same rapture he had experienced in his vision below. He rolled in the air, soaring over the back of the iron leviathan, struggling to reach the safety of the void, a journey that now seemed all but impossible. One of the lifter tugs exploded in a cherry-red fireball, the detonation of its gravitic engine sending out an expanding wave of force. Another followed swiftly, falling onto the back of the Lux Ferrum and smashing to pieces. Ahriman saw the source of the destruction. A flight of 8 Thunderbolt fighters streaked towards the mass conveyor with lethal intent. Streaks of fire blazed from underslung nose cannons, while white contrails followed sky-strike missiles as they leapt from wing pylons. 4 more tugs exploded, easy prey for the heavy fighters. The flight broke up, 4 peeling off to starboard, 4 to port. Guns chattering, they raked the flanks of the Lux Ferrum. Alternating punches of autocannon and lascannon fire chewed up hull plates and tore away plasma thrusters and warp vanes. Ahriman followed the starboard flight down. He rammed his consciousness into the mind of the trailing pilot. He felt the man's exhilaration, his desire to bring death to the thousands of people aboard the Lux Ferrum. Ahriman vaporized his brain with a thought, and the aircraft dropped out of formation, spinning out of control to the ground. The remaining 3 craft scattered, believing they were under conventional attack. Ahriman stretched out his kine powers and slammed 2 aircraft together. They exploded as their unexpended ordnance detonated at the ferocious impact. The final aircraft spun in ever more desperate evasive maneuvers, its pilot trying in vain to pinpoint the source of his comrade's demise. Ahriman swooped low over the back of the corkscrewing aircraft and thrust his consciousness into the pilot's mind. He pressed the man's screaming thoughts hard against the lid of his skull, knowing in an instant every aspect of commanding this aerial steed. He threw the plane into a steep climb, angling the winds to catch the thermals lifting off the back of the mass conveyor. A fierce exhilaration filled him, and he understood a measure of the arrogance he saw in the swagger of every aviator he had ever met. Like the cavalrymen of old Earth, the pilot of a combat aircraft was a god of the battlefield. Ahriman rolled the Thunderbolt around, seeing the other 4 fighters looping back around for another strafing run. The air above the vast starship was smudged with explosions and drifting smoke from the downed tugs. The wreckage of at least 12 burned on the Lux Ferrum's dorsal surfaces. Another salvo of missiles leapt from the wing hardpoints of the attacking fighters. They raced towards their targets, but at the last second, Ahriman twisted their course and turned them back upon their source. There was something the Emperor had said on the day of his departure from Prospero. It seemed appropriate now. The hawk always returns to the hand that loosed it. 2 Thunderbolts exploded as their own missiles flew into their engine intakes. A 3rd dropped out of the sky as Ahriman extended his powers and ripped its wings off like a child tormenting a trapped insect. The final aircraft turned into him, its prow guns blazing. Ahriman vacated the pilot's mind as a hurricane of autocannon rounds shredded his Thunderbolt. The shockwave of its demise chased Ahriman, and his pyre-ray powers ignited the air within the last Thunderbolt's cockpit. He relished the pilot's agonized screams as he was burned alive in the raging firestorm within his aircraft. The fighter spun out and crashed in a tumbling fireball along the Lux Ferrum's upper surfaces. Ahriman twisted in the air, his subtle body resonating with the power of the great ocean and the impunity with which he had destroyed these men. He searched for other aircraft, almost wishing there were more. Then he saw it wouldn't matter. As fast as he had killed the attacking fighters, it hadn't been fast enough. More than half of the lifter tugs had been destroyed. The Lux Ferrum was going down. Forex roared in anger as yet more blossoming explosions marched along the belly of the mass conveyor. One of its repulsor generators blew out with a thunderous detonation. The shockwave buckled the air and drove anyone below who wasn't already there onto the ground. More explosions erupted on the mass conveyor's flanks, and shattered plating fell in a burning rain from the breached hull of the enormous vessel.
An explosion mushroomed a few hundred meters away, wreckage spun away from whatever had smashed into the ground. Forex saw a pair of raptor-winged interceptors streak overhead. One vanished in a tumbling fireball as the pursuing aircraft's guns blew out its engines. He didn't have time to wonder what was going on overhead.
"Get up! Keep moving! From iron cometh strength," said Forex through gritted teeth. "From strength cometh will."
Pushing past the agony of his shattered knee, he surged to his feet and limped towards the nearest Hydra. Every step brought pain, but he had to keep going. Another crewman climbed to the Hydra's cupola mount and threw his dead comrade from the vehicle. Forex blasted him from the vehicle's topside with a single shot. The slide racked back empty.
"No time to reload. From will cometh faith. From faith cometh honor."
Another salvo of missiles leapt from the Praetor's launchers, detonating moments later against the Lux Ferrum's hull. More wreckage tumbled downwards as the explosions blew out the bulkheads of cargo holds, and Forex saw flailing bodies tumbling from the ruptured starship. Even over the bellow of gunfire and the bone-shaking bass note of the Lux Ferrum's struggling repulsors, Forex heard their terrified screams. He reached the forward hull of the Hydra and bent his one good leg before pistoning upwards. He landed on the tank's topside. His ruined knee shrieked, and a veil of blinding agony fell across his vision. A crewman emerged from the cupola, holding a crackling Vulkite caliver. Forex smashed his bolter down on the soldier's skull, crushing bone and helmet to shards.
"From honor cometh iron."
The Hydra's guns were angled up towards the Lux Ferrum. The turret rotated to the side. The two gunners looked around in surprise at the sight of this blood-soaked giant lumbering towards them. Their surprise did not last long. Forex killed both with sweeps of his bolter, using the weapon like a club. He kicked their bodies from the crew platform and laid Araman down as gently as possible against the rear handrail. A flurry of shots spanked from the blast shield around the wide barrels of the upraised autocannons. He ducked into cover as a searing hot beam of plasma exploded against the shield, turning its upper quadrant to molten slag. The workings of a Hydra were no mystery to Forex. An Iron Warrior could operate any artillery piece in the Imperial Armory. He pressed himself into the contoured shoulder grips, squatting to fit his armored bulk in a space designed for mortal frames. He stamped the pivot pedal and swung the quad-barreled weapon around as more gunfire impacted the hissing blast shield. Lasfire and plasma bolts, along with heavy slugs and missiles from bipod-mounted launchers. Red-hot fragments ricocheted around him, perforating his shoulder and neck. He ignored them and centered the Praetor on the Hydra's sights.
"This is my unbreakable litany. May it forever be so," said Forex, squeezing the palm triggers.
The Hydra bucked like a wild bullgrox. The noise was deafening, like the very fabric of the world being ripped asunder. All four barrels unleashed a blizzard of high-explosive shells into the nearest Praetor's flank. The vehicle vanished in a blinding fireball as the rockets inside cooked off in a series of booming detonations. But his triumph was short-lived, as he saw it had come too late, that Araman's apocalyptic vision was coming to pass. The Lux Ferrum was going down. It fell back to Morningstar with infinite grace, but Forex knew that something of such titanic mass would cause untold devastation upon impact. He turned from the slowly falling starship, seeing 100 or more red-armored soldiers advancing on his captured Hydra. Many were armed with weapons easily capable of taking out his newly acquired tank. Not that it mattered now. He swung the turret around, lowering the quad-mounted autocannons as far as they could go.
"Iron within, iron without," he said.